turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 18, I should say, through 21. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to preface our Bible reading by making a few quick statements here. Of course, this deals much with the Holy Spirit, that third person, if you will, if you want to call it that, in the Trinity, and how vital a role that he ought to have in each and every one of our lives. The truth is, you know, the Bible teaches, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of time, I don't have a whole lot of time to go all back into that, but the Bible does teach that the Holy Spirit has several different ministries. Of course, one of them is to convict us, okay? As a child of God, boy, it's good to have that Holy Spirit there. When you step out of line or step out of whack with God, boy, the Holy Spirit, he's there to say, why did you do that? And immediately, our responsibility, okay, is to get on our knees and say, oh, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. Okay, don't quench him. The Bible says much about throwing water on the Holy Spirit. We ought not do that. But he's there to convict us. He's there to communicate with us. You know, as he communicates, that communication can be many, many different lines, if you will. I mean, it can be a communication line of encouragement. Okay, when you're down, you know, he's there to go ahead and lift you up and encourage you to help you go on through your day, if you will. He'll communicate in many, many different forms and different ways, if you will. He's there to comfort. Okay, again, when you're down, you know, he's there to comfort you. The Bible says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know, Jesus told the disciples, you know what? I may be gone as far as who I am, but I will leave you another comforter. I'll leave you the Holy Spirit with you. I thank God for that. And he's so very, very vital. We ought not diminish the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. I'll read and then you read. Four verses here. Our text verse this morning is verse number 18. And I'll read, of course, then you read, and we will read right on through to 21. And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Our Heavenly Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you this morning. I pray, God, that you will direct our lives. I pray, God, that we'll leave here allowing you to direct our lives. Pray that we'll leave here and have the world see that there's evidence that you have control of our lives, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bathe this message, Lord. I pray, God, that you would have your will and way in each and every heart this morning. I pray, God, you would bless now. Anoint my lips this morning. Give me clarity this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Yeah, I'm still looking forward to this new year. It's still a very fresh year, if you will. And preparing this message, I was still looking forward and to the other, 47 weeks or whatever left of this new year. There's still a lot to do. The year is just rolling. But as I look forward this year, got to thinking the greatest need that we have here at Faith Baptist Church. Is it more building space? Oh, we could use a little bit more, I'm sure. Is it more people? Is it more money? Well, is it another bus? Is it a Christian school? How about more Sunday school classes? Oh, I know, a better pastor. Don't answer that one. Is it more, moving right along, is it more puppet personalities? Not that we do not have enough. Okay, if you're here at any given time on a Sunday morning, you'll see a couple different characters up here, and if you try the junior church downstairs, you'll see a whole lot more puppet personalities downstairs. But if I was to go around to each one of you and ask you, what is it that Faith Baptist Church needs more this year? You know, the answers would be varied. We'd have many, many different things, different thoughts, if you will. But since I'm doing the preaching, I'm going to go ahead and answer that question and tell you what I believe this church needs. By the way, the things that I mentioned earlier is not bad, okay? That's not bad at all. But there's one element that's far more important than what was in that list. Paul here is prescribing in the scripture here what the church of Ephesus needed and what I think our church today needs. The prescriptions right here, it's in black and white. We're going to read that. We're going to kind of go through that this morning. He told the church of Ephesus exactly the same lesson for us. He tells them that their need is for the power of God to be in their midst. That's what he told them. He says, church at Ephesus, you know what? Your need is to have the power of God in your life. Your need is to have the power of God in your midst. That's what we need here at Faith Baptist Church. If we ever get to the place where the majority of the people in this church, in this room, were truly walking in the Spirit and living a Spirit-filled life, all the things mentioned a moment ago and more would be reality. You think about that. If we would all stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, sometimes we're saved and that's about it. But there's so much more to being saved. We ought to be growing, and the Holy Spirit is that one that'll teach you and help you grow and communicate with you. As I mentioned before, he'll communicate with you things that you didn't even know. You know, when you open your Bible every single day, you ought to say, Lord, Holy Spirit, teach me. You know, your Bible reading doesn't have to be dead. You know, sometimes, well, I do it by duty. Well, if that's the only reason why you do it, great. You ought to be in the Bible, and I think you'll get something out of that along the way. But boy, before you sit down and you open up the blessed Word of God, okay, Holy Spirit, you show me something from the Word of God. Show me something I need today. And if we ever got to the point, this church, the majority of us ever got to the point where we would be walking in the Spirit and allow him to fill us and so forth, the things mentioned before and much more would be a reality. We ought never be afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to say that we need him this morning. We need his presence in our everyday lives. We need his presence more than ever in our church. We ought not fear the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, we ought to welcome him, and we ought to be creating an atmosphere where he feels at home, where he can go ahead and do the work in this church unhindered. So oftentimes, the bad spirit in a church can hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. I've said from the very start, and most of you have been here since I've been here, I fight for a good spirit here. There's no need to have to be like this as Christians, you know? The world has enough that we don't need to bring that in the church. We ought to have a place that loves one another, that encourages one another. And yes, you'll hear the Bible and preach as it should be preached, and you'll hear some tough things once in a while. But let me tell you something. I promise you this. Myself as your pastor and any other man I have come behind my pulpit here, they're going to preach out of love. I promise you that. And if you feel like, well, my toes are stomped on, listen to me. It's not the preacher or the preacher special speaker that's here that's going around making all the notes on your life. The Holy Spirit's got all the notes. Amen. He knows what's needed. Sometimes, boy, oh, that point was a tough point to swallow. Yeah, I know. I know, boy. You know what? You think it was tough for you. When I was studying that, I said, you know? But the truth of the matter is we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We ought to be busy creating an atmosphere where he feels at home and feels welcome, an atmosphere where he can work unhindered in our church and in your lives. Boy, I tell you, you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, you walk in the Spirit, it'll change your life. I can't say that enough. If you could just take that very simple statement, it'll change your life. It'll change your Christian life. It'll change your atmosphere in your home. It'll change your ministry all around. It'll change your church life, how you come to church and so forth. You know, I always encourage people, you know, sometimes I know Sunday morning it's hard to get up. You know, may I just say, and people love it when I say stuff like this, you know, I slept like a baby last night. I slept great. And then, you know, and you know, I heard that alarm go off at just before 6 o'clock. And I go, you know, it was like, does this have to end? Come on now, you can say amen. You know, when you're sleeping good, it's just like, I felt like it was just such a short night, but I went to bed early, but I feel great. But the truth of the matter is, you know, it'll change your life. The Holy Spirit will go ahead and change your life if you allow him to. He'll change your home life if you allow him to. Paul is telling believers what the Spirit life is Spirit-filled life is all about. He tells them that when they walk in the Spirit, there will be some evidence of them walking in the Spirit. People will tell that you've been walking in the Spirit, that you're filled, if you will, with the Spirit of God. I want you to listen as I speak on the subject, evidence of a Spirit-filled life. I really want to help you this morning. More than ever, our church, but more than ever, our lives, our Christian lives, could be so much more fuller if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. If we allow the Holy Spirit to use us. You know, by the way, let me just say this by way of introduction. I'll get to my points in just a moment. You know, when one is filled with the Holy Spirit, we will still speak English. Amen? Okay, I just want to say that. Okay, there's no gibberish. But listen, the Bible says that God's not the author of confusion. Okay? Just wanted to let you know that. You know what? But when we're filled with the Spirit, we'll be more like Jesus than we ever have been. we'll be more like Christ than we ever have been. And by the way, that's what the Spirit of God wants to do. He wants to duplicate the life of Christ in every individual here this morning. You know what Christian means? Literally, it means to be Christ-like. That's what it means. And boy, our walk with God, our Christian growth ought to be stronger today than it was in 2009. We ought to be, you know, let me just say this. You know, we ought to be closer to God. We ought to have more Bible read, have a desire to have more Bible read this year than we did last year. Our prayer time ought to be more this year than last year. Well, you know what? If we find ourselves not going forward in the Christian life, well, I wanna just plead with you, man. You might want to just do some analysis in your Christian life. You know, you might just want to go ahead and search some things in your Christian life. But I ask you the question this morning: Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? Let's check some evidence and see where we stand this morning. Evidences, three areas I found of evidences of being filled with the Spirit. Number one, evidence in our walk with the Spirit. In verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This verse is teaching us control. When we are filled with the Spirit, we will be in control, okay? The Bible says, be not drunk with wine. As liquor controls a drunkard, okay? I don't have time to turn to it, but Proverbs chapter 23, 29 through 35, I think it is, you know, it tells what alcohol will do to somebody, the effects of alcohol on somebody. You ever see a drunkard? The drink controls who they are. The drink controls their walk. The drink controls their talk. It controls their vision, controls their hearing clearly, controls other bodily functions. It controls their speech. It causes you to do things that perhaps you never thought you would do. I've talked to people who's battled alcohol and different things, and they, how often after they get saved and different things, they said, boy, that drink made me do things I never thought I would ever do. But you know, let's look at the comparison here, talking about the Spirit-filled man. The Bible says a Spirit-filled man will allow God to control their life. Their walk will be different, okay? Just as a drunk man, I'm going to walk around a little bit because I need the exercise, amen? And don't say amen to that, but anyways, the comparison here, okay, a drunk man, you know what, controls all their actions, their talk, and their walk, and so forth, and the Bible says that a Spirit-filled man will allow God to control their life. The comparison's right there in verse 18. Their walk will be different. They'll go to the right places. They'll not have a desire to go back to the old places of evil. Their talk will be different. Their cursing and their dirty talk and their dirty jokes, if you will not be a part of you. But praising God and singing his praises, he gives you a new song in Psalm 40, verse 3, the psalmist writes, he gives a new song, there'll be new speech, your thoughts will be different. You'll have control of your thoughts rather than thinking on worldly things. You'll think on heavenly things. The Bible says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. Well, you look at life a whole lot differently when you allow God to have control of your life, when you allow him to have complete control. Your attitudes will change. Yeah, I'm not going to say you won't ever be grumpy. Okay, I'm not going to say that because sometimes in the morning it's hard to get that first smile, amen? But the truth of the matter is, but the way you look at life will change, okay? God will give you the ability, listen, if you allow the Holy Spirit to control you, God will give you the ability to solve your problems. He'll give you some know-how from the instruction book right here. He'll give you some know-how. He'll give you the leadership that you need, but you won't so much fly off the handle. I promise you, if you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, if you allow the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to work in your life and let him fill you, you know what? You won't be so much to fly off the handle. Every time your child, or every time this and that happens, you won't so much just go ahead and get in their face and yell and scream and so forth. And I'm not saying that's diminished 100%, but you will have control because you're allowing him to control you. Your actions, everything changes. Your actions will change. Your spiritual life, if you will, your church attendance will change. Your Bible reading will change. Your prayer life will change, if you will. Your desire to serve will change. Why? Because you've allowed God to go ahead and have control. As I said before, if you're not going forward and you're going backward, I ask you, search your heart this morning. Where are you in the Christian life? You know, let me tell you something. Living back here, back in the world as a Christian, that's not a satisfied life, man. You know, and by the way, people do. People, the Bible teaches people are saved so as by fire. They never grow. They never experience the true joy of Christianity by allowing the Holy Spirit to teach them and to grow them and to listen to preaching and say, Lord, change my life. Listen to the teaching. Get in your own Bible time. Have a walk with God. But the truth of the matter is, you know, that's no fun back there. It's not where God intends us to be. We ought to be growing. We ought to allow the Holy Spirit to have control. You know what? The Holy Spirit make you complete. Okay, that word filled, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled means to be full to the top. It means lacking nothing. It means nothing short of complete. You will be complete. It is like a missing part of the puzzle. You ever sit down, do some of them big puzzles and so forth, the ones that's got like a million pieces and so on, takes you about 15 years to do? You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. Finally, you get it done. In that course of time, okay, maybe 15 years, I don't know how long, it would probably take me that long because I'll have a hard time, you know, and I'll force that thing, you know what I mean? I'll force that little piece there. I know it goes there, but you know, you get it all done. But there's a piece missing. It's incomplete. You know, that beautiful, that picture is not as beautiful as what it's supposed to be on the box simply because there's a piece missing. You know, you don't want to show it off. You don't want to go ahead and frame it, as I've seen some people do, frame that puzzle, put it up on the wall as a beautiful, because there's a piece missing. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? As a child of God, the Holy Spirit will make you complete. You know, you don't have to have that missing piece. But when you find that piece and you put it there, what a beautiful picture it makes. Well, when you allow, if you will, due to proper terminology, if you will, if you allow the peace of the Holy Spirit to go ahead and fill you, if you will, and to go ahead and be placed in your life and allow him to work in your life, boy, you know what? Let me tell you something. You will live a beautiful life in the sight of God. And people will go ahead and look at you and say, there's something different about you. There's something pleasant about you. There's something different. There's, you know, they can tell by your walk. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You go to work and people, how often I said it, when I worked out in the world, people would say, boy, you know, Sean, there's something different about you. Boy, you won't retreat. You won't back down. You know, I've had people, when I go to the work site, when I worked out in the world, they'd go ahead and make fun of me before my stand and so forth. But it's amazing. They'll say, boy, but you won't retreat. They notice that. You won't go ahead and back down. You go ahead and stand strong anyways. And let me tell you something, as a result of that kind of testimony, not because I'm boasting, not because I'm somebody, some great man of God, the truth of the matter is that allowed three men on the job site in Chicago who would for many months make fun of me because of my stand. They keep poking and poking and poking and poking. I wasn't going to change. The truth of the matter is that it allowed me during that course of 3 years to go ahead and lead them three men to Christ. Hey, what I'm saying, you know what? The Holy Spirit will complete you. You know, the Holy Spirit will complete you and cause you to be what he wants and not what we want. If you have room for any other things in your heart, then we're not Spirit-filled. Let me just say that again. You say, that's pretty harsh. Yeah, I know, but if we allow room, okay, if we allow things or stuff to push God out of the way, then you know what? We're not Spirit-filled. You know what? We ought to allow him to have control. We ought to allow him to make us complete. Simply, why are we not Spirit-filled? Because we've allowed things or something else to take his place. Why would we want to do that, church? Why would we want to do that? Now, let me look at it from a church as a whole. Why would I want to go ahead and let something else run and disrupt this church other than God? Why would I want to change everything and everything? Why would I want to do that, especially when I see what God is doing and when I see how good God's been to this church through all these many years since 1989? Boy, we've seen many blessings. Those of you who've been around a while, you've seen the blessings of God. Yes, it's been ups, it's downs, it's been ups, it's been downs, it's been ups. There's been some difficulties, and we still face difficulties, but the truth of the matter is God's been good, amen? Boy, he's been good. Hey, you know what? Allow him to have control. Allow him to have precedence in your life. You say, salvation, you're a new man. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. His will should be your will. His thoughts should be your thoughts. His desires should be your desires. He should have total control. You couple all this together, you'll be complete. You won't have to wonder what the Christian life's all about. Well, you know, I'm saved, but what more is there? Oh, let me tell you something, there's a lot more. Oh, there's a lot more. If you just open up your heart If you just come, if you will, with an empty cup and say, okay, God, you fill it. I'll drain myself of me and I'll fill you, fill myself with you. Hey, you know what? You be consistent. This verb is an active tense. My English teacher would be proud of me. I did some of this. He'd be really proud of me. I was not an English major by any means. But this verb is an active tense. That means it is to be a constant state of being. Literally, we are to go on being filled with the Spirit, a consistent day by day, step by step, walk with God. By the way, if we do that, you won't have trouble with going backslidden. You won't. If you decide, you know, I'm going to be consistent, you know, and that's why schedule is so important. Boy, that's why schedule. You know what? I tell you, you ought to schedule your walk with God and know when you're going to open up that Bible and it's just between you and Him. It might be 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever time. Boy, you ought to meet God at that same time, same place, every single morning or every single day, whatever the case may be. But you ought to go ahead and make sure, make that happen and schedule it. Because let me tell you something, you have that consistent day by day walk with God. Let me tell you something, you won't have trouble with the world. You won't have trouble going back to the old man. You won't have trouble if you allow him allow you to be consistent. Sadly, this kind of consistent living is missing in many Christians today. It's missing in many churches today. And as a result, they're not complete, and it really hurts. It hurts your testimony, too. It does. But not just your testimony, it hurts those who follow you. You know, you take somebody who's excited, who gets saved, and boy, I've witnessed to many people, and they get excited, they hit the ground running, they want to do everything at one time. I mean, they want to, of course, get saved, and of course, the Bible teaches immediately after salvation, get baptized, you ought to do that. That's a first step of obedience, and then allow yourself to go ahead and get in church and open your heart to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, find yourself a Sunday school class and grow. And I've seen people, they get excited, they want to do this, they want to do that. Before they know it, they want to be on a bus. Before they want to know, they want to sing in the choir. Before they know, they want to be out. So they want to do it all. Now, that's not bad. That's not bad. But the truth of the matter is sometimes you can get smothered. Sometimes you get smothered. I think you need to be growing. You need to be actively growing. You need to actively be consistent in your walk with God and so forth. But you take someone who desires that and they build to that consistency and each and every day they walk with God, but all of a sudden we lose that consistency. We lose that Sunday morning service. That's only one time. We lose that Sunday school hour. It's only one time. Let me tell you something. No one stopped being in their place on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night until they missed the first one. I know that's kind of practical, very simple, but that's how I am, amen? But the truth of the matter is it starts somewhere. And when we lose our consistency of our Bible reading, when we lose our consistency of our church attendance, when we lose our consistency of that walk with God and so forth, let me tell you something, and I notice this because I'm a dad, I have 5 children now in my home and so forth, little eyes are watching me. And probably one of the key motivators, other than the Holy Spirit of God, one of the key motivators in my life that probably motivates me to want to get up and do right and do what I'm supposed to do simply is because I have a family that's watching me. As the leader of the home, I have a family that's watching me. If I go ahead and say, well, you know, get nonchalant about the things of God, you know what? It won't be long before, well, Dad doesn't seem to care. You know what? Consistency is very important. When you become Spirit-filled, you will be consistent. You will have compliance. That's another verb, okay? English teacher, I just wanted you to know I'm doing well here. But another verb, which means filling, is something that is done to us. Talk about compliance. It is not something that we work up on our own. We are the vessels that God can fill and use for His glory. As I mentioned a moment ago, we must drain ourselves of ourselves and fill up with Himself. That's what Spirit-filledness is. That means we ought to be clean, we ought to be ready, and we ought to be open to His filling. Compliance literally means yielding or flexible, complying to a desire, a demand, or proposal, or coercion. Okay, I got this little balled up piece of paper here. I'm going to represent that as me. When I got saved, You hear me? I was put in Jesus' hand. Amen. I'm secure. Nobody can go ahead and the devil himself can't pluck me out of my Father's hand. I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know it, and I thank God that I know. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of Son, that ye may know. I have a no-soul Christianity today. Amen. I'm placed in his hand. Now, I want to be like some. I don't want to be complete. I just kind of just go along with life as usual and so forth and never grow. Okay. But you know what? God has, now that I'm in his hand, you know what? He has a desire for us. He has a will for us. He wants us to be somebody for him. So what he'll do, you know, and let me just say this. His desire, I believe, is to make us like this. You know, carefully ironing out, if you will, the wrinkles, the ripples. See, right here, I get saved, and I'm a child of God. I got baptized, and now I can start growing and so forth. I start reading the Word of God. So what God is doing, he's just very slowly. By the way, it's a process. It's not going to be like this. And there may be times that I might be getting like this, but then, you know, and he's got to kind of, oh, amen, we've all been there. But, you know, but very slowly and very carefully, he takes that paper, as I'm using right now, takes me. And he just says, you know what? The Bible teaches in John 15 that he desires us to produce fruit. You know, bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. There's stages there, stages of growth. And you know, the truth of the matter is, you're not going to just start bearing fruit and then start go to much fruit tomorrow. It's not going to happen. It's probably going to be your whole lifetime on this side of heaven. But you know what? But he starts weeding away some things. He may say, you know what, I want that music, or I want, you know, some of the, I want that time, I want this and so forth. But you know what, we gotta be very careful. You know what'll kind of keep us not really fully panning out and straightening out is we start negotiating with God. We start going ahead and say, well, God, you know, I love you, I want to serve you, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. Thank God. You know what? That can never be erased. But you know, I just you know, I'll give you this time, but I can't give you that time, or I'll give you this particular action, but I can't, you know, and so forth. And God says, listen, if you want to be spirit-filled, if you want to have the peace and joy that passes all understanding, just let me have you. By the way, God can do better with you than you can. Amen. And he knows what's best. Church, I can't tell you, I don't know if I can say it without even tearing up, God loves you this morning. He loves you so much. You know, the truth of the matter is, you may think, well, you know, he wants to take this away and so forth. Truth of the matter is, he wants what's best for you. If you be compliant to him, if you be flexible and you allow him to say, hey, you know what, this may hurt a little bit. You know, as in John 15, I don't have time to get there, but, you know, it talks about the farmer, if you will, taking out the pruning knife and weeding away the dead branches. That's what God wants to do with you. Take away the dead branches, if you will, so that you can produce more fruit. And he slowly but surely, you know, he will not force it. But if you allow him to be putty, if you will, in his hands, talks about the clay, the potter and the clay, allow him to go ahead and cut away the things that ought not be there that would limit or hinder. Some things may not be bad. Some things just may be time-consuming, and they're only bad simply because we have replaced him with it. That's the only thing. Nobody's understanding me. God's not against us having stuff. I want to make that clear. It's nice to have a nice car. It's nice to have a nice home. There's nothing wrong with that. Nice to have a boat. Nice to have a four-wheeler. Nice to have a snowmobile. I have one in Maine. It doesn't work so good when you don't have a lot of snow, amen? But the truth of the matter is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But if I went ahead and I loved snowmobile, when I was in Maine, man, it was just a regular thing. But I made it, I was able to schedule it and make it happen. But let me tell you something, snowmobiling did not go ahead and take away my time with the Lord. Then it would be bad. And it doesn't have to be. You schedule it, you make it happen. But, you know, he may just take away, you know, he wants to straighten you out. He wants you to look like this, if you will. And he wants to be that, you know, that missing piece to the puzzle. You know, the puzzle's about done, but I can't show that off. That's not very purdy, because right smack in the dab at the middle of that puzzle, is a piece missing. And it might be just the fact that we're not allowing the Holy Spirit just to kind of make us and mold us to help us be what he wants us to be. Hey, you know what? Allow him to do a work in your life. I tell you, drain yourself of yourself and let him fill you up with himself. Be ready. Be clean. Be open to his filling. Yield to him. Be flexible to him. As I mentioned, as I illustrated with that ball of paper there. You know what? Also, there's a command. Hey, let me just go through here. Control, complete, consistency, compliance, and command. Paul is not offering an option. Now, he's preaching, if you will, writing to the church of Ephesus. He's not offering an option for living, but laying down a command of God in our lives. He says, listen to this, and be not drunk with wine. This is a very, very adamant statement, very commanding statement, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't say, well, if you have a chance, be filled with the Spirit. You know, when you get time, slow down enough and ask God to fill you and allow you, you know, no. But be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. He's not laying out an option. He's laying down a command of God in our lives. It's very clear to me that when we put all these things together in our lives, that is God's will for every Christian to be filled with the Spirit. It's God's desire. By the way, if we aren't, we're walking in rebellion and sin before God. I'm going to turn to a verse in James. James chapter 4, the Bible's very clear, very tough verse, if you will. 4 verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, James 4, 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, so God's desire, he commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, church, you know, if you allow him to go ahead and make you and mold you and have him be what he wants to be in your life and have his desires be your desires and his will be your will, let me tell you something, you'll be excited. Teenagers, when you allow that to happen, let me tell you something, you are on for a joyous, happy Christian life. I mean that. I wish I got it more when I was 16, when I was called to preach. And I don't have a whole lot of time, but it took me a little bit of time to really, really submit to the will of God and his authority in my life. Saved, on my way to heaven, you know, as far as I know. But the truth of the matter is, I went ahead and I pushed God away. I didn't really say, you know, my idea, as I said a week or two ago, I wanted to farm. I had other desires. Was farming bad? No, it just wasn't God's will for me. It wasn't what God wanted in my life. And let me tell you something, young person, if you would just go ahead and get a hold of this thing of God's will, it'll make you joyous. It won't keep you, whoever it is in here, let me tell you something. If you allow God to have his will and way in your life, you will live a life at the end. Say, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. There'll be no regrets. It won't be like, I wish I had. I wish, you know how often I've heard young people, called to preach different things. They've made precious decisions of many different sorts, whether it be ministry, different things. I used to be a youth pastor. They get up and they testify, and you can see God is working in their heart, but somewhere along the way, they've lost that consistency. They lost that desire, whatever. They got hanging around with the wrong crowd in the world, so forth. Let me tell you something. I can take you to teenagers, younger people, young adults, some of them even a little bit older now, saying, I wish I had. I wish I had. But let me flip that coin over for just a moment. Those young people that decided, you know, I'm going to be in church. I'm going to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to have my walk with God. I'm going to be in that youth group. I'm going to go out soul winning. I'm going to follow God's will in my life. I'm not going to push him away. I know what God wants me to do. I'm going to allow him to make me and mold me and literally straighten me out. I'm going to listen to my godly authority. I'm going to listen to my mom and daddy. I'm going to listen to my preacher. I'm going to listen to my youth pastor. I'm going to listen to authority. And you know, I've seen young people, you know what, in many different various capacities and many different various careers, if you will, many called to the ministry, had gone off to Bible college, many who didn't go off to Bible college, but they got a career, but they got their family in church today. And how often I hear them say to me, Pastor Weeks, thank you for your consistency. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for poking at me when I needed it and so forth. Because you know what? They're right now, they're living a life saying, man, I'm glad I listened. I'm glad I did. Hey, listen, you know what? There ought to be some evidence of us walking in the Spirit. There ought to be evidence in our walk. Number two, there ought to be evidence in our worship of the Savior. Moving right along here. These scriptures in verse number 19 and 20, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These scriptures are teaching us, okay, now talk about the worship. There ought to be evidence in our worship of our Savior. These scriptures teach us that we ought to be a celebrating people. You know what? We have a lot to be thankful for. I can't say that enough. I say it probably maybe once a week almost behind this pulpit. We have a lot to be thankful for, church. Boy, we've seen God bring us through tough times here. We've seen God bring us through the high times. We've seen God do so many great things here at Faith Baptist Church. Now, if you could go ahead and testify about your world, your life, your home, you could say the same thing. Boy, I've seen God do some things, some mighty things in my life, and so forth. Hey, you know what? We have a lot to celebrate about. We are to be making, the Bible says, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. As Christians, ought to be thrilled about what God has done in and to us, that our hearts, we ought to be so excited that our hearts are filled with song and praise. You know, that word melody, let me just say, that word melody means to pluck, to strum, or to vibrate. It's like a harpist. You ever seen a harpist? You know, they're plucking them strings, or someone who plays a guitar. Anybody play the guitar out there? I want to hear you play sometime. But anyway, I like the guitar. But you're plucking them strings and so forth. I think Paul is teaching us here that when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we will be walking closely with Him. As this takes place, He will fill our hearts with love for Him, like a musician would pluck the strings of a harp to make beautiful music. And the Lord will pluck the strings of our hearts and will produce music of praise to the glory of God. You ever been guilty? I have. You ever been guilty of being too happy? You ever been guilty of that? Maybe not, but I have. You go down and you're, yeah, I'm going to go back. I need to walk around a little bit. I need to lose a little more weight. Amen. You know, you just go about your work. I remember when I was working in Chicago, I mean, it was these big high-rise apartment, luxury apartment buildings, and there were four towers, and they covered like four city blocks. There's a lot of walking. So I was a maintenance engineer, just another term for a glorified janitor, okay? But that was a term they called maintenance engineer, but it did all kinds of different things and so forth. But boy, there was a lot of walking going from apartment to apartment, 49 stories, each tower, and different things. And let me tell you something, I would just go ahead. I had a spring in my step. I'd be whistling, humming, Amazing Grace, Victory in Jesus, and so forth. You know, I had some of my coworkers, why are you so happy? I'll tell you why. It's because Jesus is in my heart. And you know, let me just stop and say this. Even through some of the tough times that I had in college, and I did, even now, because we all have them, you know, because of what Jesus, what God has done in my life, it allows me, it gives me the ability to sing. You know, sometimes, if I may just give you a little bit of advice, when you're down, you ought to try this. When you're down, you're discouraged, why don't you open up the hymn book? Okay, just open or take some of them familiar Christian songs that you know and just start humming them. Open your heart to the Lord. Just say, you know, just start humming. And I promise you, if you give it a shot, your spirit may just change. But you know what? Been guilty of being too happy. You're whistling, you're humming, spiritual tune. You're praising God. You know what you're doing? You're praising God for all that He's done for you. You know, even in the lowest of lows, you can still look up and say, God, you've been good. Despite the circumstance, whatever it may be, you know what? You can still say, I got my family. I got my salvation. I've got heaven. I've got so many things. I've got my job, whatever the case. And it may be some of them circumstances, except for salvation, some of them circumstances may be what you're facing, but you can still always, doesn't matter where you are, say, God, you've been good. God, you've been good. Hey, then we are a contented people. You know, we'll be happy with being who we are and what we are, what we have. Not only will the Holy Spirit teach us to worship Him in praise, but He will teach us to worship Him by trusting Him for our needs. You know what? He says He'll provide all you need. He'll supply all you need. He says He'll never leave you forsaken. He'll take care of you. He says, I love you. He wants you to trust in Him. We won't have this attitude of I want this, I want that. We'll have this attitude that He provides and He cares for me. It is what He wants for me that matters. Okay, maybe you'd like to have that brand new car, but He's given you a 20-year model with four bald tires, whatever. Whatever the case, and whatever the case is that you're driving, don't misunderstand, but you know the truth of the matter is, thank God for what you got. You know, maybe you don't have the top-of-the-line, top-brand food in your cupboard. Shaw's brand works just as well sometimes, amen? The no-name brand, if you will, works just as well. But what I'm trying to say is God provides, for He knows right where you are. He knows what you need. When you go ahead and you look at it, you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, you know what? You become contented and you will understand that, you will understand that he does provide your need. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you hungry. He's never left the righteous forsaken, the Bible says. He will go ahead and fill you up. He'll take care of your needs. You know how often I've seen it. I've had it in my own life. That, you know what, we were down to, my wife said, what are we going to have for supper? I don't really have a clue. But you know, you get on your knees and pray, acknowledge Him. Let me tell you something, it's not long after we would have our refrigerator filled. We'd have groceries on the doorstep. We'd have groceries on the table, whatever the case may be. I'm saying, you know what, you'll be a contented person. You'll be happy with what you have. You'll be happy with who you are. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't have the fancy names out there, Calvin Klein clothes or whatever. I don't know. Bear with me. I don't know all the fancy, but they're expensive. I know that much. You know, Walmart works pretty well too. Amen. My wife is not in here, but I think she'd say amen. Savers works pretty good. You know, but sometimes we're not satisfied with who we are, what we have. Well, you know what? I want that brand new fancy silk suit or whatever. What, you want to slip around all day in your seat? You know, but you know, we're not contented. Boy, you know what? You be filled with the Spirit, you'll be a contented person. I got to move right along in our evidence, number three. Number one, our walk in the Spirit, our worship of the Savior. Number three, our witness among the saints. That's how we treat one another as Christians, how we treat other Christians. You know, it seems to me that dealing with the Spirit of God and with His sovereign will, the sovereign will of God, is far more easier than dealing sometimes with the people of God. You could admit that. It's all right. Sometimes it can be difficult to deal with other people, even other Christian people. You know, sometimes I think one fellow got it right when he penned the following words of poetry: to live above with saints we love, won't that be glory? To live below with saints below, now that's another story. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's hard to encourage one another if you feel like they've ill-wronged you. It's like the song we hear from time to time in our hymn book, Where Could I Go? The second stanza goes like this: neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone, we get along in sweet accord. It's like, now give me a break. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about how we as Christians ought to be behaving, though. There are times it can be difficult to get along with others. But we ought not let that hurt our testimony. But when the Spirit of God is in control, He will and can produce a peace and harmony that Christians can only sing about. If you allow the Holy Spirit to fill, you know, listen to me, you don't have to have any ill will towards anybody today if you allow the Spirit to have control.
If you allow him to fill you and to make you what he wants you to be, you won't have any ill will towards anybody today. I'm not boasting when I say this, but I don't know of anybody that I have any ill will towards, honestly. You say, what? No. You know, and if there is anybody, and if I even know of any inclination, I'm not going to go ahead and kick them around. I'm going to, good to see you, and I'll mean it. And you can have that. You don't have to have ill will towards anybody. Let's quickly look. You know, let me tell you something. You can have a sweet marriage this morning. You don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be like World War III in your home. It doesn't have to be that way. We're the ones that make it that way simply because it might be the lack of. I don't know. Only you and God knows. It might be the lack of that prayer closet. It might be the lack of you saying, okay, God, you take a hold of my life and you make me and you mold me. You can have a sweet marriage. You know what? You can have a sweet, it doesn't have to be, well, she never or he never. No, that can be changed if you allow the Holy Spirit to control and to fill you. She always. He always loves me. He always cares for me. Yeah, I know sometimes, wife, it can be annoying to have them pants hung on the bedpost every single night, right? There's a closet right over there. He knows that. He knows that. And husband, I'm not saying that that's, you know, if you know the things that annoy your wife, let's do something about it. That'll make a sweet marriage, by the way. And vice versa. But the truth of the matter is, you know what, you allow the Holy Spirit, you know what, you'll get along with your wife. You allow him control, you'll get along with your husband. You'll have a sweet spirit in your home. You'll have a sweet spirit with your kids. You know, sometimes you look and say, well, my kid just doesn't understand. Teach them. You know, I had to be taught too. We had to be taught to do certain things. You know, teach them. Sometimes we lose our patience. Your church relationships can be sweet. They can be. It's not like, you know, walk in. Okay, they're sitting over there. I'm going to sit over here. Handshaking time, okay? You know? No, it doesn't have to be that way. And I don't know, I'm being a little funny there. I know that. But you know what? We ought to be loving one another. The Holy Spirit will help you do that. We're told to encourage one another. The Spirit of God will cause us to sing psalms to one another. This, of course, is referring to the Old Testament psalms and other psalms that were sung in the early church. The point is that I'm trying to make that when we are walking in the Spirit, our goal will be to encourage other Christians in their walk. That ought to be our goal. Okay? So-and-so did this. Okay? But your goal ought not be to retaliate. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let God deal with it. The truth of the matter is, you can be the kind of Christian you ought to be. You can be the kind of Christian soldier you ought to be instead of retaliating. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Let me show you what God says, how we ought to be. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, that lest thou also be tempted. So here's what we do when someone makes does ill to us. All we ever think about, we sit there, we stew, and we get bitter, we get frustrated. You know what? I promise you, it's affecting you more than it is them. But you know what? We sit there, we're thinking of every ill thing. You know, I just wish they, you know. The truth of the matter is, you know what the Bible says we ought to be doing? Okay, maybe they wronged you. I don't care. Whatever the situation may be, you know, that scripture is teaching me that we may wind up doing the same thing. We may wind up maybe saying something that's not right. We could be in the same position, but we ought to be the kind of Christian that's right. Let me illustrate it this way. Chris, I got to have you come up. Let me illustrate it this way. Quickly. I got to do it today. Okay? All right, don't get me. All right, I got to move right forward. And I'll end with this in just a moment. You know, I'm going to show you what Christianity, a spirit-filled Christian will do this. Okay? Lay down. He's a saved man. It doesn't matter whether he's saved or not, but let's say he's our Christian brother that's saved. He's down. You know, oh, that's the guy that said that about me. That's the guy that's going around gossiping. That's a guy that's doing this. That's a guy that's doing that. You know, this is how some of us have, you know, he's better off being sick. He's better off being down there. I'm not gonna help him. The Good Samaritan, did he go ahead and make out a list of things, of people who he's going to help and not help? The other two men before him did. You know, they didn't want to take time. You know what the Good Samaritan did? The Good Samaritan, and the Christian ought not be this way either, doesn't sit there, well, no. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Okay, verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens. And so, you know what? Maybe he did wrong me. Is that a good Christian attitude? Is that a good way to show the Christian love to my children by saying, well, you know, he's down, you know? No. You know, if we're going to go ahead and be busy training the next generation to be the kind of Christians and the Christian soldiers they ought to be, then we need to practice loving one another. And we need to help people. Hey, you know, buddy, and he may that be down there kind of, why are you helping me? That's irrelevant at that time. Hey, buddy, I'm going to patch you up a little bit. Okay, you're a little bit weak. Hey, guy. Okay? I'm going to help you out a little bit here. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual or the spirit-filled ones, restore such a one. It should be not my attitude that I don't want God to use this guy at all because of. No, God still wants to use him. Maybe he did wrong me, maybe he didn't. Whatever the case may be. But irregardless, the spirit-filled one's going to go ahead and not laugh. The spirit-filled one's going to go ahead and bind him up and help him out, strengthen him and befriend him and say, hey, you know what, I want to get you on your way. I'm going to help bear that burden. That's what the spirit-filled one does. Thank you, Chris. Listen, our evidence ought to be witnessed amongst each other. You know what creates a good spirit in the church? Love. Love. And the truth, man, I don't sit here, I don't know of anybody. I every Sunday morning, bro, I tell you, I thank God every day for the spirit of our church. We do have a good spirit. And it shows that it does prove that you are spiritual, that you're desiring the Holy Spirit to do something in your life. But maybe you're on the verge, though. Maybe you're on that verge, you know, so-and-so, you know, you're ready. Oh, yeah. Just let me tell you something. It'll mess you up more than it will them. I promise you. You know what? Evidences of the Spirit-filled life will be proven by our walk in the Spirit. It'll be proven by our worship of Him. It'll be proven about how we treat each other. Love, well, all through the Bible, what do you hear? All through the Bible, love one another. Love one another. All through the Bible. I get a sneaking suspicion that Jesus just simply wants us to love one another. You know, we ought to encourage one another. Let's not be a stumbling block to other Christians. You know, according to the scripture, it's impossible. It's merely impossible to be filled with the Spirit of God if we're going around tearing each other down. You know, I don't know about you. I don't want that kind of life. I want, as pastor, I want to be ready and open for His filling whenever and whatever He wants to do. And as a Christian, we ought to want that same desire. That's why we got to be careful of our tongue. Not to let it be a destroyer, but let it be an edifier. Let it build people up. The Bible says in James, it's as a fire. Let's love one another. You know, and I'm closing here. If you're arrested today on the charge of being spirit-filled, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be? Would there be enough evidence that you allowing God to control and therefore allowing Him to complete your life and to you know, are you being consistent in your walk? Are you being compliant, allowing Him to do what He wants? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you loving one another? How's your worship to the Savior? Hey, what I'm asking, if you're arrested today on the charge of being filled with the Spirit, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Maybe here today, there's something hindering your walk. I don't know what it is. And church, listen, I love you. Some may think, boy, it was very pointed this morning. Let me tell you something. It might be the Holy Spirit's just pointing out some things. But you might be here today. You know what, preacher? You're right. The Holy Spirit's right. There's some things in my life that's hindering my walk. It's hindering that my walk with God. It's hindering my prayer life. It's hindering my church attendance. Therefore, it's hindering my testimony, being a good testimony to my kids and my family, and they don't see the consistency, so they're beginning to get a little cattywampus and about the things of God and, you know, so forth, and they're losing their desire. It might be, leader, because we're losing our desire. It might be something in your life that's a stumbling block. It might be a whole series of things. It might be one thing. It might be a sin. It might be a besetting sin. It might be something that's not really sinful, but you're allowing it to go ahead and take the place of your walk. I don't know what it is. But let me tell you something, church. Listen, listen, listen. If you want to be happy, I promise you, if you just take this simple statement, you want true joy in your life, you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. I'm not going to drink that all down, but if this is an empty cup, here's my cup, Lord. Now you fill me up. God, you fill me. I'm going to drain myself of myself, and I'm going to allow you to fill me up with yourself. Is that the kind of Christian you want to be? Maybe you're here today, there's no evidence simply because you're not saved. You don't know for sure if you'd die today, you'd go to heaven. I encourage you, no matter who you are this morning, don't leave here without knowing Jesus as Savior. You know, the most precious relationship in the world is that Christian life. Is that lost sinner coming to Jesus, understanding they're a sinner, understanding there's a price on sin, and just realizing that Jesus paid the price, and you asking Jesus to come to your heart and save you. That's a precious. I wouldn't trade this Christian life for nothing this morning. Here this morning, there's no evidence of that. You don't know for sure you're saved. I encourage you, after a little while, you come down, you shake this preacher's hand, you say, "Preacher, today I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to live a Spirit-filled life, but you know what? I know it starts at salvation." And you shake my hand and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved this morning." No one will make fun of you. No one will go ahead and poke fun at you. As a matter of fact, we will rejoice with you. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, I encourage you, at the invitation, shake my hand. But Christian, you're here today, you got something hindering your walk, hindering you from being filled. To empty out the cup at the altar and say, "Okay, God, here, you fill it. I'm removed from me. Okay, God, here, you fill it." Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. God, I thank you for the spirit of this church. I thank you for these dear people. I pray, dear God, that you would bless each and every one here today. Oh, I know there's some that walked in because they told me and they've called this week with some heavy hearts. They're going through a difficult time. And I pray, dear God, that that difficult time would not hinder you from doing a work in their life. It might be that difficult time that's just about ready, pushing them over the edge. And I pray, dear God, they'll deal with it today and allow you to do the work in their life that you want to do. Maybe there's others here that's dealing with some sin, something else, some besetting sin, whatever the case may be, God. I pray today they'll be renewed. I pray today they'll come empty of themselves and leave filled with yourself. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do your work. If there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, I pray they wouldn't linger. I pray they wouldn't push it off. I pray today would be the day of salvation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Close in prayer. Thank you for being here today. Drive carefully as you go out. And I hope to have you back at 6 o'clock tonight for the evening service. Choir, 5:10. Love to have you be in your place, Brother Ron.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this message. Lord, please be the after preacher. Help us to think on this message. Lord, help us to see those things that are hindering our walk with you and take care of them, Lord. Please bring them to our to our thoughts. Lord, help us to take care of them. Please bless us as we go. Pray for a good afternoon. Bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.